Across the state in St. Louis, you can ride a real-life steamboat more or less just like Mark Twain did, minus the mustache. Today's steamboat rides are a novelty for tourists, but before railroads in the early 19th century, steamboats carried hundreds of tons of cargo and passengers. They connected the frontier with the world. I'm Gina Kaufman. On today's show, we're talking about the role steamboats played in the settlement of Kansas City. To start things off, Christina Leffring takes us on board a replica to get a taste of what it was like to travel this way back in the day.
It's another overcast day in Hannibal, Missouri, Mark Twain's hometown. We're 20 minutes away from chugging off on the Mark Twain riverboat. So far, it's just my boyfriend and I, when... On cue, cars pull into the parking lot and flocks of families enter the gift shop to buy tickets. Kids pop 51 cents into a penny press, and out comes their stretched pennies with the image of a riverboat. They've come to experience the river the way Twain experienced it. The Mark Twain was built in the 1960s, and comes with a diesel engine instead of steam, and doesn't have a large paddle wheel in the back, unfortunately. But otherwise, it's a good replica of 19th century steamboats, with its wide decks stacked onto each other, each becoming narrower like a tiered cake. We enter on the lower deck. It's enclosed, air-conditioned, decorated in deep red, and smells like popcorn. Captain Steve Terry co-owns the boat with his wife. He says that riverboats today are mainly for tourism, but back in the 19th century, they had a very different role.
We're on the main deck right now. This had been pretty much open because this is where they would have stored the cotton bales, the barrels, the livestock and whatnot would have all been on this deck. Back in those days, freight was the number one thing. That's what paid the bills.
That's why, according to historian Patrick Dobson, freight took priority over lower level passengers, the people who only paid $3 or $4 for a ticket west.
Most steamboat captains loaded cargo and animals first, and then passengers took up whatever place they could on the deck. The deck passengers were just regular people who had to bring their own food. They took their chances with the elements. They basically lived outside.
Historian Paula Rose describes the journey of deck passengers this way.
You were riding right alongside the hot boilers. You were riding with other passengers and livestock and cargo. It was very crowded, sweaty, dirty, smelly. It was not a fun way to travel, but it did. It got you out west. You might be able to start a new life.
Meanwhile, on the upper decks, the cabin passengers paid double what the deck passengers did, but had their own private room and a very different experience. They ate in stately dining rooms, were served cuisine on par with the finest hotels. They drank in bars with gambling tables. Or they lounged on the deck and watched the river.
There were two absolutely different experiences on a steamboat, and that also reflected the class structure of the United States at large at that time.
But regardless of whether you were rich or poor, the river was dangerous. Once we've all boarded, the Mark Twain leaves its landing and heads out onto the river. Most passengers sit outside on the upper level at the front of the boat to watch the river engorged with rain, deceptively serene on the surface. Carol Lewis grew up in Hannibal and was raised to respect and fear the river.
It's dangerous. My parents ingrained in me, you don't go in the river. The current is strong and look at all the debris in it. But I love the river. It's pretty, it's big, it's mighty.
In the early 19th century, this would have been a hazardous trip, particularly when traveling on the Missouri, says Captain Terry.
The Missouri River was notorious for eating boats. The average lifespan of a newly built steamboat back in Sam Clemens' era was 2 years. On the Mississippi River, it was 4 to 5 years.
There were about 289 steamboats that sank, or possibly more, on the Missouri River in the mid-19th century.
That's Paula Rose again. She works at the Steamboat Arabia Museum in Kansas City.
The Arabia sank by hitting a tree snag, which was very common, but also boiler explosions were common, and people would die in those situations.
Patrick Dobson says that if the river and the boat didn't get you, the other passengers might.
Most people had to worry about being getting their stuff stolen or taken from them.
With gambling and booze on board, riverboats developed a reputation. Even captains weren't necessarily trustworthy. Some captains hired professional gamblers to take money from their passengers, or worse.
There were instances of captains getting people off of the boat so they could get over a certain kind of impediment, like a sandbar or gravel bar, and then just leaving the passengers and not coming back.
While we drift downstream on the Mississippi, I notice we still haven't completely tamed the river. There's life under the surface and in the brush along the bank. Unlike trains or planes, on a riverboat, the world slowly passes by. Time slows, and you can take in the splash of fish, the chirp of birds, the smooth glide of a hawk or eagle. Even though I know about its dangerous and dirty past, I understand the nostalgia for that slower, wilder time.